Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
Here. My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back. It's hour three of In This League. In This League, ICL. On the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. That is Mr. Scott Bogman.
Hello.
I am Senior Chris Welch.
And Senior.
We are happily here to talk to you about all of the Week 5 action that's about to be going down. I can focus on Week 5. I don't want to do a lot of this because we have gone off the rails on the show today. If you missed any of the action, we've talked about the horrible show Battlefish. We talked about Venom. We talked about Aquaman. We've talked about Tupac being alive. But I just got to tell you, the reason that I could focus on football this week is I made it through Maniac on Twitter.
Oh, finally.
I got to tell you, there's not a show that had a better cast that I can recall that nailed every bit of it. The cast is so good. The show is so depressingly deep and weird. I have a huge man crush on Justin Theroux.
He's so good.
I just
want to
be him. I wish I was Justin Theroux. That's all that there is.
You know, we were talking about this a little bit earlier today, and you were like, can you imagine if you were Justin Theroux? And I'm like, no, I can't.
No.
It's so out of the realm of possibility. I just couldn't imagine.
It's not even a feasible thing. I mean, no. There's things we can't say that he's known for. He married Jennifer Aniston.
He rhymes with Schmiant Schmong.
Yeah, there you go. He's a good actor, he's a director, and he's amazing in Maniac. So I highly suggest if you're okay with being super depressed and potentially wanting to jump
off
the
bridge. It's not as depressing as his last show, for God's sake.
Yeah, but all he does
is a more depressing show than The Leftovers, by the way. I know you didn't want to run off on tangents, but you brought it up.
No, probably not, but you want to know what's so great about him? Here's his arc. The Leftovers, and then he did Ninjago, the Lego movie. And then he did Maniac. So he's all over the board. He played Garmadon as a father's
Garmadon?
Name. Garmadon. It's a four-armed ninja bad guy. Garmadon.
You know what? When I got home and I was on the phone with you, I think that movie popped up. Is he
good? It's actually
good. Is that character like all black?
Yep. Yeah, with four arms. You actually should watch it. You know who is the green ninja? He calls him Lloyd, and he's like, Dad, my name is Lloyd. He's like, it's Lloyd. I named you. I would know. And Dave Franco.
Okay. Dave Franco. I'm jealous of Dave Franco. He married Alison Brie.
Did he really?
He really did.
When did that happen?
Like a long time ago, dude.
Why does Alison Brie feel like she's 37 and Franco seems like he's 24?
I don't think Alison Brie's that old either.
I don't know. You're talking about Brie. Alison Brie is like in her mid-30s and Dave Franco is like 12.
Alison Brie is 35.
Okay, I'm close. She's our age, way over the hill.
Married Dave Franco last year.
How old is Dave Franco?
I'm looking it up. Give me a second. He is 33.
Ah.
2 years younger. I mean, you said he's 24. He's not. He's 9 years older than that.
Yeah, I wasn't exactly right. All right. Go watch Glow. Go watch the Lego Ninjago movie. And then go watch Maniac. That's what is going down. All right. Bogman, how did we do last week? Let's talk about the over, unders, all that nonsense.
Well, I'm not here to talk about the past. I am here to talk about the future.
What happened?
I was 6-8 against the spread. You were 8-6.
Winning week,
look
shall
at
we?
You. And you were 5-9 against the spread.
Oh.
I was 3-11. Just pick the opposite of what I picked.
Give me your over under and then give me your spreads again.
Why?
I need
you
to process it.
I'm not here to talk about
that. Okay, what was your spreads? Because you're over under. You were
6-8.
That was your what?
spread. It's against the spread.
You are the spread guy. I am the over under guy.
I'm clearly not the spread guy because my best week was 8-8, week one.
What was my spread? Was I 8-6?
8-6.
Oh, look at that. But I've typically, if you didn't know, I went 13.
Beating me in this proves, like, just throw darts.
Guess. I went 13-0 last year and an over under. You
did. That's what I'm saying. Just throw darts.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Where'd you go there? Your microphone. You completely went away.
I went away?
Yeah, did
I'm
it again.
Right here.
Something you're doing.
No, I'm not touching or moving anything. All I'm right. right here.
So we don't know how to pick spreads. So here's my best piece of advice for your gambling habits. Go to BetDSI. Yeah, there's a plug. Hey, you know what? That's the most natural plug I'm ever going to get. Guys, BetDSI is celebrating 20 years as the industry's biggest and safest betting site. They've got great customer service and fast, easy payment of winnings. You can play virtually every sport at BetDSI with hundreds of wagering options, and you don't have to listen to us, including live in-game wagering on all major sports events where you can make your play at any time during the game. BetDSI is now offering up to a $1,000 bonus on your first deposit if you use promo code FNTSY. All we're offering you is 1,000 internet points using the promo code ITL. That's BetDSI.com, promo code FNTSY. So head on over to BetDSI and start winning today. Not listening to us. And we are going to give you, like, do you have all the weeks?
Yeah, there? I do. I don't have the cumulative. I didn't have that.
That's okay. I don't want the cumulative.
Okay.
Count up how many times combined you and I have gone over 50%.
Well, I can do that once. You went 8-6 this week.
That's it. One time?
That's it.
That's incredible.
That's the only one.
That's amazing.
So I think, you know, to be fair, this year has been impossible. Hasn't it? You thought Cincinnati was going to beat Atlanta last week? No, because you picked wrong on that one.
So I obviously didn't.
I mean, you got Chicago right last week. You were good against the spread last week,
amazing.
We've both been horrible.
Horrible. Couldn't have been worse.
On the over-unders.
Almost
so,
couldn't be worse unless we got none right. And we
so
almost
I think
were.
We really need to break down and explain our thinking this week. I think, you know, be clear and concise and say why we're thinking this way. They're all tough.
Yes.
But why do you pick this week?
And we'll focus on some of the fantasy elements of this. So first game
of
up,
course.
Let's talk about the Tennessee Titans going into the Buffalo Bills. It is a 3-1 team versus a 1-3 team. Tennessee's favored by 5.5. The over-under is 39. Josh Allen has the mark of the beast, 666 on passing yards. 3 touchdowns, Derrick Henry, 163 yards, and Corey Davis leading receiver across this level here with 22 catches, 312 yards, and a touchdown. Corey Davis is the number one fantasy option out of this game, without question.
The only fantasy option in this game.
He kind of is, almost.
Saquon Taylor for, you know, deep flexes. And,
I think I picked him as
DFS.
my deep, deep flex this week, or my deep, deep play if you're in like a 14, 16 man, something like that, or maybe you're in some serious bye week situations. I think he's a guy that you can roll out there. I think he's going to get targeted, and if there's a week that he's going to get targeted, it's absolutely against the Buffalo Bills.
The scores in the Titans game have been so low. The highest that they've had so far was last week, 26-23, where they beat Philly. 9-6 the week before that. 20-17 the week before that. 27-20 the week before that. So
twice they've gone over this 39 points. Not that that was always the over-under.
No.
But two of the four games, they've scored more than 40, and two, they have, are both teams, and the other two, there's been under 40.
I think Buffalo either has the lowest or second lowest amount of yards gained this season. How can you take the over on this, even when it's this low?
I know. I don't know.
Buffalo scored 0 points last week.
None. From what I know, that's not good.
It's not good. I would have to take Tennessee in the under. I don't know how you pick the other way.
I'm going to have to go the same with you. There's no chance I'm taking Buffalo in this. At this point, I don't want to even start LeSean McCoy. And I know, you know, he's there. I'd rather him be on the bench until every week. It's like, okay, hey, McCoy's going to play. And they don't use him. They use him sparingly. He just doesn't. He's not a focal point in the offense anymore. I don't want to start him. Kelvin Benjamin is not startable. Zay Jones is laughably desperate. I would rather start Taywan Taylor over Zay Jones. Josh Allen has the mark of the beast, so that is telling. I'm not starting him. There's no Bill I'm starting this week. There's none. In Tennessee, I don't want to start Deion Lewis and Derrick Henry, but if I was going to, Derrick Henry is this week. Corey Davis, I'll start.
Marcus Mariota is starting with like a nerve thing in his hand.
It's unbelievable.
How can you pick the over in this game? This game is definitely going over now.
I mean, probably.
This game is 24-20, no doubt. Yeah. Tennessee win, right?
Probably. I'm going to go under.
We picked it.
Yeah.
I just don't see the logic in picking the over in this game. Like, if you want to take Buffalo, I get it. You know, I can see it. Like, a little sliver, I can see it. But you can't pick the over.
Buffalo fans even going to watch this game?
Why would they? Why would they watch? Why wouldn't they not golf or hike or something?
Yeah. Go build more tables to jump through. Go jump through tables somewhere else.
I have no problem with the Bills Mafia, and I think they're doing everything to the utmost respect of everything.
Oh, you're pandering.
No insulting the Bills Mafia for me.
Are you pandering?
I just don't want to be threatened.
Are you worried? So, Tupac, the Illuminati, and the Bills Mafia is going to come after you?
A little worried. The Bills Mafia is like an actual mafia. So.
Oh, it might be true. All right, Miami Dolphins at the Cincinnati Bengals. This is a 3-1 matchup across both teams. Cincinnati is favored by 6. The over-under is 48.5. Andy Dalton is just under 1,200 yards for the year with 11 touchdowns. Joe Mixon is healthy for this game. No Gio Bernard. He is out. Mark Walton is a walking concussion. He's the juggernaut. And Joe Mixon is available and should be a big go. And an amazing fact yard-wise, Tyler Boyd is the leading wide receiver for yards, 349 on the year, 26 receptions, 2 touchdowns. I have become a huge Tyler Boyd guy. I think he has the potential of being a wide receiver 2 this season when it's all said and done, and he's definite start at wide receiver 3. I love this matchup for Tyler Boyd. I'm in on Joe Mixon. We talked about Joe Mixon being 18 on Fantasy Pros. I think he's a mid-pack RB2. He's just, without question, I've seen questions of like, oh, would you start Mixon, him or him? I'm just starting Mixon. Unless you have the greatest options on the planet, I'm starting Joe Mixon this week. I like all my Bengals. I don't like my Dolphins. Kenyon Drake, 2 straight weeks of not trusting. Maybe this is the game. I don't see why it would be against Cincinnati. And
Cincinnati's defense hasn't been great. They're 29th in total yards. They're 32nd dead last in third down percentage conversion on defense.
Who would you rather start this week? Would you rather start Tyler Boyd or Kenny Stills?
I would rather start Tyler Boyd than any Miami wide receiver.
Agreed. Flex spot.
Because they're attached to Ryan Tannehill. But I think that this game, you know, Bengals give up over 100 rushing yards. Like, Kenyon Drake could get right here.
Flex spot, Tyler Boyd or Kenyon Drake this week?
Probably Tyler Boyd.
I'm going to go Tyler Boyd, too. I hate it because Kenyon Drake could do something. I just don't see how it's going to be against Cincinnati.
I mean, Frank Gore leads him in rushing yards.
Exactly. What are we doing on the line and the over-under?
Why don't you give me yours first?
Oh, okay.
Hey, you're the big winner.
I am going to go Cincinnati, and I'm going to take the under.
Under. All right, I'm going to go with Cincinnati, and I'm going to go over. I don't think that Miami gets right. I don't think that they win this game. I hope they do. But I think that this game is one where they could get better. And I think that maybe this is a little bit closer than we think, and it goes over the 48.5.
By the way, who's on a bye this week?
Byes this week?
I know the Bears.
It's Chicago and Tampa Bay.
Okay. Has this been a new thing where they like to go 2 a week?
No, they go 2 early, and then next week, Detroit, New Orleans, and then the following week is 4, Green Bay, Oakland, Pittsburgh, Seattle, and then Atlanta, Dallas, the Chargers, the Titans. And then week 9 is the big one where we have 6 teams. So
okay, that's where everyone loses week 9. At least hopefully everyone's in the same boat. All right,
week 11 also has 6 teams.
I think we can probably get one more in here. The Baltimore Ravens are at the Cleveland Browns. Baltimore is favored by 3. The over-under is 45.5. We got the 3-1 Ravens to the 1-2-1 Cleveland Browns. Joe Flacco is over 1,200 yards. Carlos Hyde, 285 yards, 5 touchdowns on the year. Downtown John Brown, the leading receiver yards-wise across all receivers in this game. Also 3 touchdowns. He has been pretty awesome. The Browns are talking about Callaway possibly having a little bit of a downturn in production. Nick Chubb looks to have an uptick in production. We've also got Alex Collins has been a little bit banged up. What do you make of this game fantasy-wise?
I feel like this is just going to be an ugly game all the way around. I feel like, what's the spread on it, or the over-under, I'm sorry?
45.5.
45.5. I feel like a 21-17 game going here or something in Baltimore's favor. I think this could be a Baker Mayfield throw some picks game. It's Baltimore has defense. You know, if there's one thing they have, they're second in total yards, they're fourth against the pass, fourth against the rush, third in points, second in third down conversions. Their defense is for real. So I think this is going to be a tough game for rookie quarterbacks. So I'm going to go Baltimore. I hate taking the under, especially because Mayfield can outdo expectations. But I'm going to take Baltimore in the under.
Yeah, I hate this because I'm going to take 3 straight unders, and I'm going to go with the under on this game. I'm also going to go with Baltimore. I think this could be slow going because, you know, not said here is Cleveland doesn't have a horrible defense themselves. So
they're not fantastic. They're not great,
but I'm just saying it's not the worst that we've seen.
They're 18th in points, so they're kind of like middle in the pack, but they're 24th against the rush, 23rd against the pass.
That's not good on the pass. I think we could see some stuttering early on, and this game just gets under the wire here. I don't feel confident. Confidence level would be relatively low in this game, and I don't even love a lot of the Falcons the Ravens guys out here. I don't like a lot of this. If I could avoid some of this, I would. Jarvis Landry is not someone you take out. Hyde isn't either. And maybe you play around with Nick Chubb. But don't go anywhere. We are going to come back and I know we're going to talk Green Bay Packers, Lions, Jags, Chiefs, and the rest of the crew. So more In This League coming up right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old
In This League.
Talk about www.com, me, you made you go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
We are back in This League. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Mr. Scott Bogman, still Senior Welsh, in the house, breaking down all of this action for you for Week 5. I'm pretty excited for Week 5, too, because I find it funny because we're in that, like, we just did a part of an episode where we were talking about, like, a quarter of the way through, but, like, when Week 5 comes out, you're practically a third of the way through. Like, I really feel like we are going to get a good grasp on where we are in the season, and I say that, and you've got Deontay Foreman, you know, slowly coming back from the IR, which could screw up a lot of the situation in the Texans. You got the Lev Bell stuff that's looming as well. There's still plenty of action that we are not even prepared for the NFL. But I do have a moment where I was like sitting down and I was, you know, prepping stuff for a show. And I was like, Week 5. Oh, my God. The season is like baseball just drags in
so
the best
basketball
way.
I love both of those, but
love
them. Drag at the end.
Oh my God, it feels like the 2017-18 baseball. It feels like the 18 season was like before my six-year-old was born. It feels like it's been forever. Football just started and it's just about halfway over, it feels like.
And it's
so crazy, and that's part of the love, I guess, is that it comes and goes. Football, and also this is a weird time too, because it, you know, when it feels like it drags in fantasy is when people start giving up. because you haven't quite, like, you're 0-4. That's a problem. 0-5, you're done. 1-4, you're close to done. But a lot of people are sitting at 2-2 going into this week. 1-3, oh, there's still an opportunity. 2-2, I can turn this around. 3-1s feel great. People are in it. About week 7.
Why are all those people rednecks that can, like, turn around?
I'm still.
I can turn around. I'm 1-3, boy.
I tell you. I get it.
I'll tell you what. If I just have a good week 5,
two things I know. Get in there. Moonshine and turning my fantasy team around. I can do that, I'll tell you what. So let's get back into it, though. Looking at the games, we have the Green Bay Packers at the Detroit Lions. Detroit is favored by 1 at home. The over-under is 51 even. Matthew Stafford, leading passer here, as Aaron Rodgers has stuttered a little bit, 1,200 yards. Kerryon Johnson, 216 yards, 1 touchdown, 38 carries on the season across 4 games. What would that quick math be? 8, 16, 24. That'd be 9 carries, essentially, a game. So hopefully that picks back up. And Golden Tate, the best receiver in this game, 389 yards, 3 touchdowns, 28 receptions. We have got Aaron Jones looking like the guy. We have no wide receivers potentially playing for Green Bay, though Adams and I think Allison have been listed as questionable. Cobb is out, and Ty Montgomery might play a bigger role. And then the Detroit Lions have all their guys with super-duper Kenny Golladay and Kerryon Johnson potentially taking off here. So what do you think? A little banged up Aaron Rodgers. Is he going to run rampant on this team? It's a 51 over.
Okay, so my initial thought when I looked at this was, well, Detroit's defense is banged up, and they're not good. So I ain't take Green Bay in the over. But I think I'm going to switch to Green Bay and the under in this game, because Detroit, bad against the run, dead last, 157 yards a game they're giving up. Aaron Jones, I think even Jamal Williams flex play this week, right? So
yeah.
Passing yards, yeah. Maybe.
Maybe.
Passing, well, I think Ty Montgomery may have to play wide out. So now we're down at 2 running backs, really. So
yeah,
I think he definitely
could be. That's a good point. Yeah, that's a good
point.
I'm on Ty Montgomery this week. So yeah, I get where you're going.
So passing yards, Detroit is second in the league, but they're only second because they don't have to give up passing yards because teams are running so well against them. So I don't know if that's a true thing that's happening here for them. I don't think they're great against the pass or anything, and just teams don't have to pass. So I think this could be a little bit of a grinding ball control type of a game. And if you're Detroit, what do you want to do? You want to keep the ball away from Aaron Rodgers. So I'm going to go with Green Bay, because Detroit being favored by 1, I think Green Bay wins this game outright. I'm going to go with the under on this one. So I'm hoping that's right. I've taken 3 unders, though, and I don't really like betting the under.
Yeah, I'm going to change my tune here, and I'm going to take the over on this, and I'm also going to take Green Bay. I like this as a shootout. I know Green Bay is missing a lot of weapons, but I think they're gonna have to get tricky with it. And it's a fair point to look at the under if Davante Adams and Geronimo Allison are out. You know, how are they going to, like how is the defense going to approach them? They're just going to double Jimmy Graham in the red zone, and they're going to probably play more of a zone defense because they're not afraid of being beat. And you're going to have Ty Montgomery sitting low, so coverage is a lot easier. I'm hoping Adams is going to play, but I think Green Bay to me is, like, how many points are they averaging a game? Do you have that?
They,
I
want to
say it's,
are,
like, 24.
Points, 23. Yeah. So they're 19th, though.
I feel like every week I'm going to get my 24 points from them. Detroit's offense has been clicking.
23 and a half.
Yeah. So I feel like I'm going to get my points from Detroit in this game. And I'm going to take the over. I feel confident about the over. I also feel confident about
Green Bay just shut out. I know it's Buffalo, but they shut out Buffalo. You know, and I know the offenses are much different.
I mean, not,
you know,
even remotely the same.
I understand. I just think division games are usually lower scoring as well. So, you know, the teams battle each other enough. They know each other enough.
Fair enough.
Less things work. So I just, like, look, if you don't want to follow my pick, I understand that completely. I haven't been good to this point. This is my logic, though. I want to at least explain my logic so I don't look like an idiot coming in next week.
It makes sense. This game with one of the highest scoring offenses in the NFL and most high-powered to one of the most high-powered defenses in the game. It's the Kansas City Chiefs.
Best game of the week.
Hosting the Jacksonville Jaguars. Jags are 3-1. Chiefs are 4-0. The Chiefs are favored by 3. The over-under is 49. Patrick Mahomes, an even 1,200 yards on the year with 14 touchdowns. Kareem Hunt, 289 yards on 71 carries. That's a good number there with three touchdowns. And Tyreek Hill, 364 yards, three touchdowns, 23 receptions. It's all Kansas City offense. No Leonard Fournette. It's TJ Yeldon time. He is in a great matchup against Kansas City. DeeDee Westbrook, Keelan Cole, also solid. And the Kansas City Chiefs have been filled with weapons up to this point, but they're going, this is the, what's my thing again? The immovable object versus the force?
Now I forgot it.
Immovable object versus the...
The unstoppable force.
Yeah, there you go. That's like what this is.
Let me ask you something. Where do you think Jacksonville's defense ranks for total yards for the year?
Three.
First. Oh, where do you think Kansas City's total yards?
On defense?
On defense.
Last.
Where do you think passing yards for Jacksonville is?
First.
Really? Yeah. Kansas City, 31st.
Is that? Oh, that's passing defense?
Passing defense,
oh,
yes.
Okay,
rushing
okay,
yards, yeah. Jacksonville, only 10th. But they're giving up less than 195. Kansas City, 28th points. Jacksonville, first. Kansas City, 25th. Third down percentage, Jacksonville, fourth. Kansas City, first somehow. I don't know how they give up all those points. Don't give up. You know what? I think they don't give up first downs because no one gets to third down. It's just second down, first down.
Probably,
I think that's it.
That's probably true.
But
it sounds like you might be going Jacksonville here.
In scoring here, though, when you look at it, Kansas City 8th, Jacksonville 15th. My phone just freaked out. Passing yards 9th for Kansas City, 16th for Jacksonville, 12th in rushing yards for Jacksonville, 13th for Kansas City, 22nd in points for Jacksonville, 1st for Kansas City. And then third down percentage is 2nd for Kansas City, 8th for Jacksonville. This one is tough. So what was the line you had again? Give it to me again.
49. And it's Kansas City favored by 3.
It's at Kansas City. I feel like the league is going more towards offense than they are for defense. I'm going to go Kansas City, but I'm taking the under. I think this will be more of a struggle than we think. I think this could be a 28-24 game. 28-24. A 17-14 game. A 21-17 game. Something along those lines. So I think it's going to be tougher than it looks for Kansas City to score points because they haven't faced a defense like this yet. But I still think the rules are favored towards offense. Kansas City wins this game.
I agree with your initial assessment. 28-24. Let's go with that. I think it could be a 28-24 type of game. I'm going to go with Kansas City. I'm going to go with the over. Blake Bortles is a great play this week. At least I think he's a great play. TJ Yeldon can get out there. He can get it. DeeDee Westbrook, I'm excited about him for this week. But Kansas City, I think a lot of the focus is like, oh, you know, defense. This is going to get brutal. I think people are going to try to find ways to get Patrick Mahomes out of their lineup.
As long as Booger McFarland isn't calling this game so he can call Patrick Mahomes Showtime 850,000 times.
What network is he? Is that Fox?
That's ABC because he's on, that's ESPN because he's the Monday Night Football.
Oh, okay. CBS. We're okay.
Okay.
We're okay.
Let's go.
Yeah, no, none of him. So I'm going to Kansas City, and I'm going to go with the over. All right. Next game up is the Broncos at the Jets. Jets are 1-3, hosting the Broncos, who are 2-2. Jets are favored by 1. The over-under is 42.5. Case Keenum is the leading passer until Kelly gets in, of course. 988, only three touchdowns on the year. Philip Lindsay, your leading rusher across the board, 287 yards with one score on 45 carries. Emmanuel Sanders, leading receiver. All Denver here, 314, one touchdown, yet the Jets are favored with Lego head.
Dude, the touchdown to interception ratio for these two quarterbacks is 7 touchdowns and 11 interceptions. It's not good. So, all right, this is at home for the Jets. Sam Darnold also got the extra time because they played the Thursday night game the week before. See, this game I don't have a good feel on. What do you feel on this game? I just flat out don't have a good feel on it. I think they're both down the middle on offense and defense here. I mean, the Jets' offense has been horrific since week one. 29th in total yards, 27th in passing, 25th in rushing, 21st in points, 24th in third down conversion. But it's not much better for the Broncos. They're third in rushing yards, but they're bad in passing. They're not great. They're a little bit over middle of the pack in total yards. And I don't know. I feel like my gut says the Jets, but I feel like that's not what I should be taking. What are you thinking?
I'm going to go with the Broncos, and I'm going to take the under because I feel like this could be a 20-10 game in Denver's favor. Denver just has better offensive weapons. I mean, Darnold might be the better quarterback, honestly, but Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas, Cortland Sutton is such a beast. You got both the run. I think Freeman's going to have a game. I still like Philip Lindsay. And the Jets are just kind of a mess. You know, they don't know who they are offensively. Robbie Anderson sucks. Sam Darnold is still struggling through. And I think Von
Miller is going to be all in his face. The only reason Robbie Anderson sucks is because Sam Darnold won't throw the ball deep.
Yeah.
I think he has to get to
that. I mean, he also sucks.
He hasn't been good. You're absolutely right about that. So for history, I'm going to roll with you on Denver. I'm going to take the over on this because I think one way or the other, one team is going to get a ton of turnovers. One team is going to get a bunch of turnovers and score a bunch of points. So whether it's 35-28, 35-17, whatever, I think this game goes over. So I'm going to take Denver because they're the obvious choice, but I'm going to take the over because I think it's not obvious.
All right. This is a big one for you. The Atlanta Falcons.
Pittsburgh and the over.
Come to Pittsburgh. They're both 1-1. Well, actually, the Steelers are 1-2-1. The Falcons are 1-3. It's got to hurt. Pittsburgh is favored by 3.5. Holy crap. Over under 58. Roethlisberger's got 1,400 yards. He is the leader in passing yards on the year. 8 touchdowns. James Conner, 63 carries, 232 yards, 3 touchdowns. And Julio Jones is your leading receiver with 502 yards and 29 catches, more yards than Antonio Brown. So this is without question Pittsburgh in the over?
No. Let me ask you something. How many yards a game do you think the Pittsburgh Steelers, remember they used to be the Steel Curtain defense, how many yards do you think they're giving up a game?
Oh, God. Is this passing and rushing combined?
Yeah, total yards.
What's the average in the NFL? Because I want to say like 500.
I don't have the average, but no, it's not. It's not that high. Like, I think the average is probably close to like 325.
I'm going
to
say 380.
More.
400.
More.
420.
420 and a half.
Oh, kept it 420 for Lev Bell. I like it.
So that is 30th, Atlanta 28th, passing yards, Pittsburgh 29th, Atlanta 25th, rushing yards, Pittsburgh tied for 22nd, 115, Atlanta 119, 26 points, 26 for the Steelers, 30th for Atlanta. Somehow Pittsburgh is good on third downs. I don't know how that is possible. Both offenses pretty good. Pittsburgh 6th on offense, Atlanta 7th. Points 11th for Pittsburgh, 6th for Atlanta. How does this game not go over?
Yeah, I mean it's just that Murphy's Law thing where we look at the logic of all of it and then both offenses will sputter in the first half. You'll have dumb drops and stuff like that. But I totally agree with you. This is ripe for everybody. You know, is Calvin Ridley this year's Juju Smith-Schuster?
He might be. I mean, he's already got, 6 touchdowns?
Yeah, so, I mean, Juju, Calvin, Julio, Antonio Brown, tons of offensive weapons. Devontae Freeman is back. Maybe Tevin Coleman takes a little bit of a rest and we get more of a Devontae Freeman run. This is a good game for him to go. Yeah, this game is just primed for offensive stuff. Man, there are some, like, the morning games or more morning dust, Jags and Chiefs and Atlanta and Pittsburgh. I just get those two games up and watch. I mean, I know you're going to be
just
nothing but Pittsburgh, but
just don't watch.
Will you do a split screen or will you only watch the Pittsburgh game solo?
I have 3 screens, so I'll watch Pittsburgh on one.
TVs out there?
Well, I have 2 TVs and 1 streamer, so I got my Kindle. So
big TV gets Pittsburgh.
Yeah, big TV gets Pittsburgh. Next TV gets Red Zone, and the next TV usually gets a division game. Like Cleveland-Baltimore would be a good one, Cincinnati-Miami, but I'm going to go with Jacksonville and Kansas City today.
They don't do that. So, don't they have that, like, what's that, like, inside the game type of thing? Well, it's like 20 different cameras and stuff. Don't they have that?
What?
Or is that like a Monday night thing? You know, like you go online and you get like
you're talking about the ESPN thing where you can see like the breakdown in the booth and all that stuff. I don't do that.
No.
They have that for college games, too. I don't know. I'd rather watch the goal line to see all the different games.
So. We're going to go to break here in a second, but James Conner. Do you think James Conner is going to find his – or the Steelers going to find his footing?
He has to run the ball to keep that crappy defense off the field. I'd say Pittsburgh in the over, but the way this goes under is Pittsburgh runs and Devontae Freeman's back and Atlanta runs. I just don't see it happening, though. I think they have to score. Pittsburgh in the over for me.
Yeah, I'm going to go the same thing. I'm going to go Pittsburgh. It's tough to go the over, but this easily can be a 35-31 type of a game, and I'm going to go with Pittsburgh on this. I mean, I could see even taking Atlanta because of the points in this game, like getting really close. So, you know what? I'm going to go Atlanta and over-under, but I'm going to do it more thinking that this is like a 2-point, 1-point game type of thing.
One of us will win that one.
Yeah, so. Exactly. All right, don't go anywhere. Final segment coming up of In This League. We are going to finish off. We got a ton of games, so we are going to be plowing through these with fantasy advice. I think we got a couple more in the morning, and then we're going to go with the late afternoon games Monday night and Sunday night. So let's get at it. Don't go anywhere. More Bogman and the Wells for In This League coming up on the other side of this break.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator, plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
In This League.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
It's final segment here at In This League. That's Scott Bogman. Find him on Twitter at Bogman Hi. Sports. I am the Welsh. You can find me on Twitter at IsTheWelsh. Feel free to tweet at us any of your questions. We're glad to do any of that. If you're wanting a more immediate response, patreon.com/ITLArmy. Come have some fun with us. Have all the chaos. Join us in the football rooms. Football Sunday is wild in there. All of the ITL Army, however many people are in there, start and sit questions. People are talking about the games, over-under stuff, whether it's waivers, whatever it is. It's all happening over there.
IDP also.
IDP. I forgot. Yeah. Don't you have that? You have an IDP room too, huh?
Yeah, IDP room. You're not invited. You don't like it.
I mean, I would like it, but I still want to listen to it. I'm good. To be fair, I drafted some very good IDP teams this year.
You're welcome.
Because of you and Gary's information. Our IDP league, it's a keeper league, which my team was all right. Not only did I draft well offensively, but I have such a dominant defense. I have been without Lev Bell, and I am 3-1.
My team is filled with losers.
Yeah.
And I hate it, but it will be much better next year. So I got some rookie quarterbacks. I got Darnold. I got Lamar Jackson, who will be starting next year, hopefully, as long as they get rid of Flacco, which I think is the whole plan with drafting Jackson. And, you know, I have Fournette and Mark Ingram. Mark Ingram's been suspended, and Fournette's been hurt. So my defense plays well. My loser backups are Latavius Murray and Marcus Murphy. So
losers. All right. Giants at the Panthers. Panthers are... What are they? Is that? Am I
2-1?
Because they had the bye week. I'm like, am I reading that wrong? I need glasses. Giants are 1-3. Carolina's favored by 6. 43.5 is the over under. Eli Manning, your leading passer here, over 1,000 yards, 4 touchdowns. Christian McCaffrey, 271 yards rushing. I think he's like a 160 receiving. Lots of catches.
He's got 11 more yards than Barkley on 10 fewer carries.
Three games, 46 carries. So what does that come to? 8, 16, 24. Is that like. Was that 16 to 6, 12, 18? That's close to 16 a game.
So like 15.5.
15.5 rushes a game.
15.3 to be exact.
It's pretty good. Okay, there you go. Pretty good. And then Odell Beckham, your leading receiver, 31 catches for 331 yards, 0 touchdowns, it looks like, for Odell Beckham Jr. So what do you think about this? With the Panthers coming off the bye is not a great thing for the Giants.
Yeah, and... You know, the Giants have not looked good. Their defense is better than expected, but they're giving up so much against the run. They're giving up 126 yards. So this really feels to me like a Christian McCaffrey game. So it feels like run CMC, play some defense, because the Giants offense is not bad. I mean, Eli, it's not great, of course, but it's not very good. They haven't been able to run the ball.
Let me ask you something. Okay. Do you think it's possible on the bye, the team says, this has been great, but we don't want to run Christian McCaffrey into the ground, and they made a point to make sure that they get C.J. Anderson more involved coming out of the break?
Yeah.
Okay.
100%. I think the reason that McCaffrey got 30 touches in the last game they played was because they were going into the bye week. I don't think that's going to happen possibly again until maybe the playoffs. So I think that that is a definite thing that could happen. I mean, we like to make fun of our buddy Nate Hamilton and everything because he hated Christian McCaffrey. He said that maybe C.J. Anderson was just as good as him. That is clearly not the case.
No.
But I feel you can't give Christian McCaffrey the ball 30 times a game. He was hurt in college a little bit. He can handle a ton of carries. I think 20 touches a game is good for him. And he's a game-breaking, dynamic type of a player, so he can be really good. But I think in this one, you got to take Carolina coming off the bye. 43.5 is dicey. What are you thinking of that over?
I'm going to take the over. I'm going to take that. Good running backs here, Saquon and Christian McCaffrey. I think the Giants can put up some points. And, I'm going to take the Giants.
You're going to take the Giants.
And they over. Because I think some points could be scored. But because I think points are going to be scored in this, I think the Giants are going to keep it close. The Panthers maybe even trying to catch themselves a little bit with some early offensive scoring. But I think the Panthers are going to come out strong, and I think they are going to take this game. But I'm going to take the line for the Giants since I'm getting 6, but I'm going to take the over at 43.5.
I'm going to take the Panthers stomping. So I'm going to take Carolina. I'm also going to take the over. I just think that with a week off, I think they're the much better team. The Giants have real offensive line problems. They've got all kinds of weapons. So it won't take a lot of plays to get it to work for the over, but it will take some. So I'm going to take Carolina in the over.
All right. Now we're going to the later games. We've got the Oakland Raiders at the Clippers. It's 2-2 versus 1-3. Raiders are the 1-3 team, obviously. Let's see. The Clippers are favored by 5.5. The over-under is 52.5 for them Chargers. It's a little over 1,300 yards for Derek Carr, 6 touchdowns, 300 yards on 68 carries, always one shy for Lynch, and 3 touchdowns. Jared Cook is your leading receiver on both teams from a yards perspective.
Yeah, he
370 yards, 26 catches, and 2 touchdowns. So what do you think about this one? Melvin Gordon's been a beast. Keenan Allen was a little bit banged up. We hope that he can get strong in this game. Eckler's been doing well. And Amari Cooper hasn't been a loser for 2 straight weeks. He's been doing some stuff and some things.
Man, I feel like, when you look at the Raiders, they've given up 33. Then they gave up 20 to Denver, and they lost that game. They gave up 28 to Miami, and they gave up 42 to Cleveland. I don't see how this game goes under. I know it's a high. Is that the highest over? It's tied for the highest over of the week.
I think the your team here is 58.
Oh, that you're right. You're right. That is the highest. Second highest. So tied for the second highest from what I have. It's 52.5, right? That's what you said?
52.5.
And the Clippers by 5?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, the Saints are 53.
Oh, okay, because I have 52.5 on that also.
And the Clippers are 5.5.
Okay. 5.5. Okay. Man, line changes a lot in a day. I'm going to take the Chargers. I don't see how they win this game by less than a touchdown. The Raiders have been horrific so far. Just a lot of changes. I don't want to give the Raiders too much of a hard time, but they got a lot of changes going on over there. Derek Carr has clearly not figured it out yet. They do play from behind a lot, though, and they score a lot of points because of it. So I will take the Clippers and the over.
I'm going to do the exact same in this game. I'm going to expect Melvin Gordon to do business. I think Eckler, everyone's kind of being like, ooh, Eckler's cooling down. I think he's not going to cool down in this game. But I do see some Jordy happening in this game for the Raiders. So I'd be looking at Jordy Nelson. All right, the Vikings go to Philly. This is going to be a really good afternoon game, not compared to the stupid game that I'll be watching on television. We have got the Eagles that are 2-2. The Vikings are 1-2-1. Kirk Cousins under 1,400 yards, 10 touchdowns. Not a lot of running. It would, if I would have told you, hey, week five, the leading rusher between the Eagles and Vikings is Jay Ajayi with 155 yards, three touchdowns.
Adam, I mean, I might have believed that, but not with 155 games and a game missed.
Adam Thielen averaging 10 catches a game because he has 40 for 473 yards and two touchdowns. Dalvin Cook didn't practice on Friday. I'm assuming he is a no-go for this game. And even if he was active, I wouldn't feel confident about it at
all. It's definitely pitch count again.
If he's not active.
If he even plays.
Yeah,
right.
if he doesn't play, put out Latavius Murray. If he plays, I'm not putting out Dalvin Cook. I learned that the last time. And Corey Clement, a little bit banged up. I like Jay Ajayi a little bit in this game, though the Vikings defense not played as well as we would hope, but they're not a lost cause by any means. So what do you think about this overall?
This is the hardest game, I think, to pick for the over of the week because 46.5 is a great number. Average points, these teams would be averaging just over 50.5 each. Minnesota averaging a bunch of points. They don't have Dalvin Cook. They're going to have to throw the ball. And Philly is 18th against the pass, but they're first against the run. So it makes more sense for them to pass anyway. I think it's kind of obvious, though. And I think both these defenses are not playing up to standard. We just saw Minnesota get smoked against the Rams. Now, the Rams are a completely different animal, but they can't play that bad again. They had some extra rest in this game. I feel like this is going to go under. I feel like it's not truthful to see this game go over because these defenses have historically been very good, especially recently. So I feel like this game is going to go under just kind of get back to a normal pace for these teams. And I think Philly wins this. Minnesota has not looked good.
I'm going to also go the under, but I'm going to go Minnesota on this one. I'm going to say this is going to be
the
game.
Rest.
Yeah, and also that Minnesota can get right. They're going to have to get right if anything is going to happen. And I think if there's a team that can, it's going to be them. And I'm going to go Minnesota. But I like what you were saying with the under. I think these are stronger defenses, and it's not going to be a high-scoring affair. Now,
a lot of unders.
I think this could be a more high-scoring affair than it's given, but it'd be more of sloppiness. It's the San Francisco 49ers, my team, hosting the Arizona Cardinals. There's one win and seven losses across the
combined
these two teams.
Three passing touchdowns.
It's Josh Rosen and C.J. Beathard are the quarterbacks in this game. Matt Breida, though, is one of the league's highest rushers, 313 yards, only one touchdown, 41 carries. George Kittle, your leading receiver here.
Ricky Seals-Jones leads for the stupid Cardinals.
That's amazing.
The leading receivers are tight ends in this game.
And think Marquise Goodwin, Pierre Garçon, Larry Fitzgerald. Nope, it's the tight ends. George Kittle's got 18 catches, 316 yards, and a touchdown. My biggest question is, I have been watching Larry Fitzgerald eat up my 49ers for however many years he's been in the NFL, 12 years or something like that. Do you think this is the Larry Fitzgerald get right game?
No, I think because he's still banged up. So could it be I could see a three catches for 24 yards and two scores for Larry, but I don't see the, you know, eight catches for 115 and a score for him. I don't see that. He's banged up. I think he's more decoy than anything else in this game. I think he's more red zone.
Yeah, you like Kirk Cousins at wideout anyways.
I also like Christian Kirk Cousins. So at wideout. This game, the points are not high, so it's tough to pick against the spread.
Yeah, I didn't say it. It's 40 over under with a 3.5 spread, 3.5 favorite to San Francisco.
Line moved again in this one. People taking the Cardinals. I'm gonna take the Niners. The Cardinals, whatever it is, just don't have it. What are you doing on this over under?
I'm going over. Right. I mean, I do think the 49ers could give Cardinals some fits, and it could be ugly. But I mean, 24-20, absolutely reasonable for this game.
Right, absolutely. Or, you know, 21-20.
Yeah, 27-20, something like that. I think the 49ers are going to get some. Matt Breida I like in this game. I like Kittle as well. Though the Cardinals do have some half-decent safeties. If Goodwin is out there, I could see Goodwin having a game. I'm looking for Alfred Morris for one last week. And David Johnson is going to probably have two scores against
Alfred Morris droppable after this week. That's
probably
my prediction.
Yeah, that's probably right. All right, a couple more games here. Let's try to get through. We have got the last game for the Sunday afternoon games. It's the Rams at the Seahawks. 4-0 Rams to the 2-2 Seahawks. It is Rams favored by seven, a road 7.5 favorite. The over-under is 50. Jared Goff over 1,400 yards, 11 touchdowns. Gurley, 338 yards, 4 touchdowns. This got to be towards the top of the league in carries, 79 carries in 4 games. And Brandon Cooks, your leading receiver, 452 yards, 26 carries, and a touchdown. I mean, this is Rams are going to win this game, but do you think they are going to cover that 7.5?
Yeah, I mean, I don't, you know, look, I understand the division game, the crappy Rams team beat the good Seahawks teams, all that stuff. It's a rivalry, all that stuff. But you give the Rams, who looked amazing against the Vikings on Thursday Night Football last week, extra rest to prepare. I don't really care if this game was on Mars. Rams in the over, easy.
Yeah, I agree. I'm 100% on this. I think Jared Goff's going to do great. I think I was saying this over on the Black Book that I think Russell Wilson's going to be running for his life in this game. I think I've said that. That was my concern with him this season. And if there's a guy that can do it right, it is Russell Wilson. So I do think he's going to be able to score some points. But this Rams defense, it's going to be no mercy. I think they're going to be blitzing the ever-living crap out of him. They don't have much of a running game to fear. Doug Baldwin a little bit banged up. It's more of a concern for the talented wide receivers in Lockett and Doug Baldwin, but they got cover down corners. They've got a tough defensive line. This is Rams in the over. All right, two more games. The Sunday night game is the Battle of Texas. It's the Cowboys at the Texans, 2-2 to the 1-3 Texans. Houston's favored by 3.5, 45.5 is the over-under. Deshaun Watson, a little over 1,200 yards, 7 touchdowns. Ezekiel Elliott's your leading rusher, 426 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns. And DeAndre Hopkins, 30 catches, 443 on the yards, and 2 scores. So what do you think?
I'm going to do what I did in this game. It's the same logic. It's just the Kmart version of Jacksonville versus Kansas City, right? A good offense versus a good defense versus a crappy offense versus a crappy defense. So I'm going to take Houston. I'm going to go over in this game. They're at home. They shouldn't be running anyway. Dallas is good against the run. They're not as good against the pass. So Houston and over is kind of the logical thing to me.
Okay. I'm going to go Houston and the under on this one. I think it's a little bit.
You want to get one right.
Yeah. I think there's also a little bit of force with they're going to have to be just dominating with Ezekiel Elliott, and I'm not sure they're going to be able to. And then same goes for the with the Texans offensively. I mean, they have no running game, so it's going to be DeAndre Hopkins, and you got to hope that Will Fuller is healthy. So that's a little bit of a question. And then last one here, let's get this in: the Redskins at the Saints. The Saints favored by 6.5. The over-under is 53. Alvin Kamara, 275 yards on the ground, 5 touchdowns, tons of receiving yards. Mark Ingram is back, though. Michael Thomas, 42 catches, 445 yards, and a couple scores. So how do you go with this, and how concerned are you about Kamara also, because he was a little bit limited in practice this week, and does Ingram eat into him? We got about a minute.
I think he has to. This game is strength on strength. New Orleans, good offense versus Washington, good defense. Washington third in total yards, second in points. I think, like, you know, once again, with the logic, take the offense in the NFL. It's all going towards the offense. I go with New Orleans, and I'm going to take the over in this one, too. It doesn't feel right. I want to take the under, but I just can't. New Orleans clicking on all cylinders right now.
Yeah, I agree. I'm going to definitely take that. And one thing I'm going to be on the lookout for is the Alvin Kamara owner. Not to say that Alvin Kamara is not going to be good in this game, but if he is
the panic,
if he's off a little bit and Ingram kind of goes and maybe they sit back a little bit because Kamara's a little bit banged up, I would go put an aggressive offer for Kamara after this game. And I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to think twice about it. We'll see what happens. Obviously, if he has another 3 scores or something, it ain't going to matter. But be on the lookout for that. Both Kamara and Ingram are startable. And that is the episode. Go check us out over at InThisLeague.com and the In This League Fantasy Football Podcast, as we will be giving you all the important notes of the Sunday games on Monday morning as well. The Fantasy Black Book on Fantrax will be breaking down each game. So between those 2 hours, you're going to get your full coverage on Monday of everything that was Week 5. And we'll be back with you next week for more of In This League on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. For Bogman, I am the Welsh. Have a great Week 5. Win your matchups. Good night now.
900 points for listening to this show. He's ignored. Action is his reward to him.
Life is a great big day. Wherever there's a hand.